Pastor Ben is not here, and so what shall we talk about? So I'm sitting there in the kitchen trying to ask the Lord what message I should bring to you. And so I thought that I would talk with you about life. It's a word that we use in our vocabulary all the time, and it's associated with so many different logos that we see, or statements that we make, or movies, or songs that we hear. So here's an example. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So if you start up in the upper left-hand corner, certainly Camp Life, which is what Lee and I do when we go over to Zambia, Camp Life is a very important thing. And then a symbol that you've seen probably a lot lately in the T-shirt industry and bumper sticker industry is this thing that says life is good, and there's a whole industry behind this that propagates that life is good. And then I started thinking about, well, when I was a kid, I used to get the magazine called Boy's Life, and I used to love looking through that magazine because it was all about guy stuff, and so it was a lot of fun to read through. And then there's Young Life, a big campus ministry that reaches out to folks that in many cases aren't all that young anymore. If you move on down just a little bit, you'll see a little sign that comes from a lot of different applications, but there's a song, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. So there you go, life is but a dream. And then Life Magazine. A big magazine for people my age, AJ, for a very popular magazine for many years. And then the Moody Blues made a great song called Isn't Life Strange? Leah's just gone down this path of, yeah, man, that is really cool time, man. And then we just left the Christmas season. One of my favorite Christmas movies to watch, It's a Wonderful Life. And then you have these things of life-changing events. I would have to say that going to Zambia was a life-changing event for me. And then John Eckenrode called me up and said, hey, happy wife, happy life. So, you know, I know that's a big thing at John's house about making sure that he keeps Sharon happy, because the alternative is really not good at all. And then there's the good life, right? You hear a lot about the good life. And then a bumper sticker that you see a lot on the coastlines of the country, the salt life. I don't think that's a bumper sticker. It's really popular in, like, Kansas. But salt life. And then there's yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. And then finally, if you can't quite make out what it says, is there life after death? Trespass here and find out. So life, it's an interesting thing, right? So let's go to the next slide. Let's start at the very beginning, because as you know, that's a very good place to start. The Sound of Music, great film. I thought we'd start at the very beginning. So in the beginning, wow, is he really going to start at Genesis and walk us all the way through Revelation? Yeah, because Pastor Ben told me I had 3 hours. So I hope you guys ate your Wheaties this morning. But look at this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. You know, if you read just the first chapter of Genesis where it talks about God's unveiling of the creation, that statement in the New Living Translation, and that is what happened. It's like, that's what happened, because God said, let's do this. And that's what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. Very good. That's what happened. It's the first time in his creation where he concluded with, "It was very good," which includes the creation of mankind. So let's go to the next slide. Ruh-roh. So while it was very good, if you read a little further in Genesis, you'll find out that things kind of went off the rails after a little while. And I'm betting that it's probably, Scooby-Doo has probably never made it to the pulpit of Maranatha Fellowship. But here we are, and as Scooby-Doo would say, ruh-roh, when sin entered the world, it changed everything. And what was very good suddenly became very complicated. And something entered into the world that was antithetical to life, and that's death. Gonna let that hang in the air for just a second. Something that is a very sobering thought. It's an appointment that we will all keep. Well, so let's go to the next slide. Do you remember the days when everything wasn't so complicated? When it was just you were a child and it was fun and you didn't have to worry about bills or a job or being sick or being healthy or where you were going to live or who was going to take care of you? You remember those days? Well, they sometimes seem like they're out of reach. They're beyond your grasp. Go to the next slide. You ready for some good news? You know, God is the arbiter of the classic, I got some good news and I got some bad news. Which one do you want first? Leo, what does good news mean? Is there another word that you can think of that we commonly in Christian circles refer to as the good news? The gospel. Oh my goodness. So are you ready for some good news? Anybody out there not need any good news? You'll take some good news, Bill? All right. God loves you. Each one of you. He loves you when you're lovable. He loves you when you're despicable. And it's not just here, in this little corner of University Boulevard and Metzerat Road. He loves us all. You see, back at the beginning of this, I started at Genesis where he talked about how he had given things. Well, he gave us the gift of life. Didn't have to do it, but he did. So on the next slide, some very interesting dynamics that happen as a result of things going off the rails. God gives us something else to fix this problem. And the classic verse of John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave. See, he is the poster child for giving. We're to emulate that in our surrender of ourselves to others. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life, depending on which translation you're looking at. See, but to put it in context, is he talking to everybody? You think God's talking to everybody there? I do. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That's kind of a hard thing to think about. It's the kind of thing that you don't want to think about. It's the kind of thing you don't want to talk about. It's the thing you want to run away from many times. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus. Eternal life. See, the life that was given back at the beginning, in the beginning, was marred by sin. And God, through Christ, enables a process under which you can have eternal life. So, for it is by grace. Grace. What is grace? Grace is that unmerited favor that makes it so that you who can't do anything about the position or the status that you're in, God intervenes and says, for by grace you have been saved. Saved from what? Saved from that separation that occurred when sin occurred through faith. Now, faith is an interesting thing. Faith isn't about doing something. It's not like being a member of a certain society or hanging out with the right people or being a celebrity or having done some heroic thing or made a big donation to build a hospital wing or any of the other things that mankind tries to do to establish some sort of righteousness. It's all about faith, but it's faith in what? It's faith in what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. And that is not from yourselves. See, if we could do something to reconcile this separation that occurred, first off, then why did Jesus die on the cross? It wouldn't have been necessary. Waste of time, right? And second off, then that place called heaven really wouldn't be heaven, would it? Because it'd be filled with a lot of people that had earned their way there. Boy, kind of sets the stage for a lot of proud people walking around. Gee, don't we have that problem here on earth? And I've got to tell you, that doesn't conjure up an image of heaven to me. Heaven is a place where it doesn't matter where you were or what you did. It's who you knew. And that person is Christ Jesus. And then it goes on, it's the gift of God. It's that gift that's been given to you, the gift of life, eternal life. So let's go to the next slide. You know, this has been used in so many different things, so many different applications, but every good and perfect gift is from above. God knows the most perfect gift because he knows everything about you individually. David talked about how God knows the number of hairs on your head. For some of us, it's getting fewer and fewer, but he knows that too because he can do math. He's really good at that. So every good and perfect gift comes from God. You know, sometimes we give gifts to each other, and sometimes we have an agenda. You know, I'll do this for you in hopes that you'll do something for me. A friend of mine that I work with, he sponsored me for the polar bear plunge. And so we were tossing some emails back and forth, and I told him how he could make the donation electronically and everything, and he's a good guy and everything, and he writes back, and he has a quote in there from The Godfather about how,
I'll do this a favor for you now, but someday I may come to you and I may need something, and you're going to pay me back.
Wow. A little scary. God's not like that. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? God's gift is unmerited. And therefore, there is no way of being expected to pay it back because you didn't do anything to get it in the first place. It came about from his grace. Now, there is something that is very pivotal, though, and that is you got to believe what constitutes your faith. In Romans chapter 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's some very important language in there that you have to make sure you don't overlook. When you speak, what you're really revealing is what's in your heart many times. Because the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, it comes out of you. Sometimes you might be able to say some things that aren't really in your heart or aren't really true. That's called lying, by the way. But when you speak something out of your heart, what's coming out is really what's you. It's the person that you are, individually. It's not your grandma or your mom or the preacher or whoever it was that told you about Jesus or took you to church. It's you. So what is being said here is if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Will. It doesn't say maybe. It might happen. You know, if circumstances are okay, if I'm feeling good that day, it says you will be saved. Very important language in this verse. And then it goes on to say this benevolent love that God has for us in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Wow. What a promise. Isn't that amazing? Hope and a future. You know, I suspect that many of you got up this morning and thought, I'm not going to die today, right? But truth is, none of us really know, right? Isn't that true? But God is promising us, regardless of what happens, whether the last breath is today or 100 years from now. Hey, it could happen. Medicine's getting pretty interesting. You have hope and a future. That's pretty amazing stuff. But you know, here's something else that's very interesting. And we've talked about the fact that God has given us life, and he has then given us eternal life. And it's God's gift to you. It's what you do with that life that becomes your gift back to God. Because that's the only thing that you can really give to him. It's the only thing. Do you think God wants your old car? Or, you know, some piece of artwork that you came up with? Or any of that? No. He wants your heart. You know, if I were a wise man, I would know my part. If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. What then can I give him, poor as I am? I will give my heart. And it's not about trying to earn your salvation, this giving back of yourself to God. It's about gratitude and recognition that he has paid that debt, and he has paid it all. And you do that out of acknowledgement that it's all about him, not you. It's that gift that's been given to you. So you get to decide. You know, I do a fair amount of traveling, not so much lately, but for about my last 5 years with Raytheon, I practically lived in an airplane for about 5 years. I was in airports all over the place. And at National Airport, when you park your car in their parking lot and walk across the street and you're going into the terminal, it's a really long walk, so they have a series of moving walkways. And when you get on the walkway, as you approach the end of the walkway, there's a couple of speakers that are very directional, and as you approach the end, there's a voice that's speaking to you. And it says, caution, the moving walkway is about to end. Caution, the moving walkway is about to end. And it gets a little louder the closer you get to the end, probably because of proximity. The point is that the people at the airport realized that human beings by nature are pretty stupid. Sorry about that. Spoiler alert. We're pretty stupid. We get on these things and we start texting or zone out or fussing with the kid or your luggage or something. And the next thing you know, there's a pile up at the end. And so they decided, you know, maybe we ought to help them out by saying, hey, wake up, dummy. The end is about to come. You know, there's a lot of us that live our life that same way. And we're hoping that there's somebody that's going to say, caution, the moving walkway, the life that you're living is about to end, so you'll have time to get it squared away. Don't live that way. It's foolish. Live life as if today were going to be the last day, and live it to the fullest so that you can be the person that God wants you to be. Don't be living in that moving walkway of hoping that somebody's going to give you a heads up that the end is about to come. Be ready for the end by taking care of business with God today. Amen? So, the next time you go to the airport and you get on that moving walkway, you're going to remember this, at least I hope you will. But I really do want to encourage you. You know, I'm looking around the room and I know most everybody here. And I'm thinking you're here this morning because you have made a commitment to know Christ. But if that's not the case, if you find yourself here on January 8th, 2017, and you've been drawing breath for a little while, and you don't know, today's a great day to get it squared up. A great day to get it squared up. Amen. But don't think that this is just a message for just the lost, just those that don't know that, because this is a message for each one of us, because when you made that decision to come to Christ and live by faith rather than by works, deeds, God didn't shoot you and bring you to heaven. He left you here for a reason. You're still drawing breath and have from that day until this one, until the one that you draw your last one, for a reason. See, he has a purpose in your life. Remember, it said, for I have plans for a future and hope. And it's not just a future and hope for you. It's a future and hope for others. Because you hold the secret. You hold the good news. You hold the story of Christ within your mind, within your heart, within your life. So don't be bashful. You know, it's not about a formula of presenting the gospel. Although formulas are out there. I mean, I went to Evangelism Explosion quite a few years ago and learned the route of explaining to people about coming to Christ. But we're all different. We all come from different places in our experience. We come from different walks. And that message may come many times in your life or in that person's life, because you never know the impact that you may have on them. Because the truth is, people are dying all the time. So don't be afraid. Ask God for boldness. Ask God for an opportunity. Ask God to be a blessing to someone else by virtue of just, you don't have to be a trained professional. You don't have to be Pastor Ben or Pastor Russ or Bishop Abel or whoever that you can think of. You just have to speak from the heart. See, your job, and this is really important, your job is not to convince them to come to Christ. That's not your job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And he does it quite well. Your job is to just say, this is what I know, and I want to share it with you. It really is that simple, guys. It's that simple. Amen? So, a simple message, not to a bunch of simpletons. That would be rude. I wouldn't really want to say that. No, it's a simple message that has so many complex facets to it in people's lives. If you walk out of here and don't remember anything, remember that God loves you. He cares about you. And he is the one that has it all in the palm of his hand. That those songs that we sang as a child, They're so true. So with that, I'm going to say amen. That's my message to you this morning. Thank you.